The History of the Leech Lake Reservation with Elaine Fleming. This program is supported by funds from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Elaine Fleming Nindishina Kaz. Me quech meno bimadisi when me quech nin men wen dum. So I want to continue the story of Shirley LaDuc today and her talking about the walkout at the Cassick Bina High School and the racism in the 70s, in the 60s and 70s, and also about the American Indian Movement when they came to town concerning the our fishing and hunting rights, and just remembering that she was born on March 3rd, 1942, the biggest storm of the year. And she was born during the Indian Reorganization era. She was 11 during the when the Termination era began, and then she was around 18 when the Self-Determination era began. It was a time of civil protest and activism, and organization of the American Indian Movement. The Bagunagishik School would be created. And so I wanted to begin with a quote because Shirley was interviewed by her grandson, and Mike Schmidt provided me with some of these papers that I read from. And when her grandson interviewed her, and his name isn't on this paper, so I'm sorry I can't share that with you. But he begins by saying, "Remember, someone else walked ahead of you so that you might have an easier walk." And how appropriate to say that. During those times, people began to speak out during the self-determination era, and that's what our students did. And so during the late 60s and 70s, Shirley was a single parent who worked part-time and went to BSU full-time. She said that the employment opportunities were practically non-existent for American Indians. She worked seasonal jobs like cleaning cabins. She tutored for the school district and was an aide for the State Department of Indian Education. During that time, a small group of Anishinaabe parents came together and formed a group called the Concerned Parents of Indian Students. That school principal at the time at a public meeting called this group the Concerned Idiots of Indian Students. But Shirley said that being publicly ridiculed, that would not stop this group of parents. And the philosophy of the time, she said, was that the only good parent was a silent parent. And many people thought that this small, unrecognized group of parents was, they labeled them as militant, but she said they didn't consider themselves militant. They considered themselves as peaceful advocates and activists for the children. She also acknowledged that legal services and the VISTA workers were very instrumental in assisting the Anishinaabe community during those times to actively seek their civil rights and the right to be treated as human beings. That philosophy of the 60s civil rights movement had come to town. So in one of the interviews her grandson had with Shirley, he asked her how were things different on the Leech Lake Reservation in the 70s than they are now. And she talked about the population being smaller, that there were few homes on the reservation that had plumbing. Some of them had electricity. And she talked about how they had lived originally on the south side of the railroad tracks in Cass Lake, and then they had moved to Track 33. And that was originally known as Indian Town. I've even seen that name on maps. She was asked, what did people think about AIM and their leaders, Dennis Banks, Clyde and Vernon Belcourt, Russell Means, Pat Bellinger, Eddie Benton? And she responded that the older Anishinaabe people were often disapproving about the AIM leaders. They didn't like their public behavior of shouting and protesting. And at the time, she was undecided about AIM, but her and her family, they had a great and long talks around the table about AIM and the sit-in at the Minneapolis BIA office. She said that the thing that AIM did was getting the media and the nation to see some of the real problems and to begin paying attention was a really good thing. And that's what would happen in the Cass Lake being a school district. She was the Indian Education Director. Some of her family was active in the startup of AIM on the Fairbanks and the Robertson side. She talked about the Little Red Schoolhouse in St. Paul. And I worked there also. She also talked about the Heart of the Earth School. And she talked about white and Indian people who stood together and approached the Minneapolis and St. Paul School District to get these schools started. She taught at the Heart of the Earth in the late 80s. And she said that she could still hear her Robertson telling her what a great feeling it was to stand together shoulder to shoulder for a common cause. She said that some of the people who worked on these schools were high school dropouts. Some had high school diplomas, some were college students, and some had college degrees. And they all knew that it was important to stand up for what they believed in, and that they didn't mind, or at least they didn't let people know. They didn't show that it bothered them when people criticized them or ridiculed them and put them down with war whoops and negative remarks. So Shirley was asked, why did AIM come to Cass Lake? And what do you remember about the times AIM had their convention at the Episcopal camp? How did people feel about that? And she responded that was a hunting and fishing rights issue when it was brought to public attention. And Leech Lake, our nation, had the first major court case in the state of Minnesota to fight for our hunting and fishing and gathering rights. And so the Leech Lake leadership, which included the elected officials, was heavily criticized in public, in newspapers, and on the TV with the coming of the AIM people. They had invited the AIM people to come and hold their convention in Cass Lake, and to the AIM offered to help the Leech Lake RTC, or RBC at the time as it was called, with their treaty rights case. And so the elected tribal officials at that time were Simon Howard, Dave Minnell, Elmer Jones, Howard Matthews, and Wayne Cronin. And I knew all of these men. I knew them all fairly well. So she was asked, what do you remember about the treaty rights case? She said that during that time there were a lot of rumors going around that scared people, and it created great fear. And the issues in the community, the racism, it spilled over. And it wasn't good for the people, but still, I guess through that birthing process, to create something new, you go through hard times. Well, the schools during those times overreacted. And it became difficult for some of the students in the schools, and parents actually pulled their kids out of the school. And when the aim was coming to town, three of her children didn't want to attend school that day. And so she took a note to the high school that day, because that was a process to let them know that her children wouldn't be in attendance that day. And when she got there, the school doors were actually chained because of that fear. They thought that AIM was coming to the schools and there would be violence. And so she had great difficulty in getting the principal to listen to her. And it was just at the grade school, too, she talked about how the grade school, although the doors weren't chained, that they were locked up and that there were heavy curtains pulled across the windows so nobody could see in. And she talked about her children coming home and being frightened of the AIM people. And she didn't want them to be afraid of people. Based on what they wore and the color of their skin. So Shirley was asked, how did different groups of people around Leech Lake, the business resort owners, the sports group, how did they react to Leech Lake winning their treaty rights case? And she said that these groups were not happy about the results of the case, that there was a white backlash. She said that people got together and started retaliating against Anishinaabe who were fishing with a net. And anglers would cut the nets and they would take the bobbers. There were stories of people getting into fights over what they believed was right or whether Indians had any treaty rights. And most of the people, she said, both white and Indian at the time, didn't understand what treaty rights were and how they affected the tribe. And so as Indian education director, when the students walked out of the schools and they began the Baguna Gishik school, she talked about the principal who was that retired Major Duncan, and how he was brought in to bring discipline to our students. He was a gun-toting principal. And he actually, after the walkout, he stayed there for another year. And after that year, that was when they finally got rid of him. There was this school board election, which was the largest election in history. She said that there were at least 300 people who were in the old gym area at the Cass Lake High School, and they were waiting for the election results. She said that there was a huge line around almost around the entire block of the school of people coming to vote, and they were voting in on the school board. And you know, during that time that the school board had been taken to court 5 times, and they had also been officially they had been taken, and a complaint had been registered against them with the Minnesota State Board of Education. And so there was this election, and during that election we did get 2 new school board members. And one of those was George Ross. In the end, that's when the principal Duncan, when he left, and things began to change. And that's when Tom Peacock, he was our first Indian principal that was hired. And I remember reading in a newspaper article about him being surprised that he was hired at the school district, because he said that there were other people who had higher qualifications and more experience. But he was brought in, and things changed and began to become much better for the Indian students at the Cass Lake Buena School District. And so we give thanks to people like Shirley LaDuc, our Indian Education Director at the time, and those people who walked before us to make things easier for us on this path in life. Chi mi quech bin bisen dawi ek, mi quech mi you.
Ya eh ha, hey ya ha, hey ya ya eh ha. Ya eh ha, hey ya ha, hey oh hey.